No.
All right.
Not really. BC, that's before Christ.
Okay.
And AD means the year of our Lord.
All right.
Before Christ, of course, is before Jesus was born into the world. Now, Christ always existed. All right. God the Son, Jehovah, always existed for all eternity. But there was a time when he became flesh. And when he became flesh, it's called the year of our Lord. Anno Domini. Okay? That's what AD stands for, the year of our Lord. Before that is before Christ. Now, they haven't got the calendar all straight, so it isn't exactly the year that... But it's supposed to be right here. At the zero point is where Christ is born. John 1:14 says, or John 1:1 says, in beginning. Now that word beginning there is not like in Genesis 1:1. In Genesis 1:1 it says barashit, bara. Alright? It says in beginnings Elohim created the heavens and the earth. Alright? In beginnings. In one of the beginnings God created the heavens and the earth. But in John 1:1 it says in RK. Alright, in RK. Alright? In RK. In locking singular feminine. In the furthest back in eternity. In beginning. And then it has a Greek verb there, aim. Alright? That's third person singular, imperfect, indicative, active. See, I'm having a look. I didn't have a young man in my class. This is one coming in all the time. One of my best scholars. In beginning, kept on being, and then, have you ever heard of the term ho logo? Alright, ho logo. In beginning, kept on being, third person singular, not was, it's translated was in King James. That just doesn't do it. It's third person singular, alright? First, second, third. Singular here. First person singular is what? I. Alright. Second person singular. In every language. You. Alright. Third person singular. He. A she. Or an it. Alright. And then of course, first person plural is we. Second person plural is he. And third person plural is they. In Greek, the verbs are inflected. All the words are inflected and tells you exactly. You pull out one word out of a sentence, you know what part of pleasantness is. That's beautiful because it's inflected. In absolute beginning, when a God only existed, kept on being the Logos. Now, when you translate any scripture, and we're going to get into that in just a minute, when you translate any scripture, you have to, is there a figure of speech involved? And in Greek, you have Greek idioms, and in Hebrew, you have Hebrew idioms. Now, when languages cross from one language to another, now here we have a Hebrew writing in Greek. Okay, and that's John 1:1. In beginning, kept on being the Word. Now, the Greek idea of logos was what? The idea, the beginning, that maybe the creator, okay? But not in Hebrew, it's not like that. In Hebrew, what John was saying here, he's saying here, when they came to the term, the word Hebrew, or Jehovah, they couldn't say the word Jehovah. Nobody ever spoke the name Jehovah at all. It could not be spoken. And I've told you this before. Jehovah could not be spoken. Can you say that? Just say Jehovah. Alright, that's pretty easy to do. But if you take out all the vowels, alright, can you say it now? You can't say it, can you? Neither could they. Because it was not appointed, they never were supposed to speak it. So they referred to this name as the Word. So when John wrote John 1:1, he referred to the Hebrew idea. This is a Hebrew idiom, not a Greek idiom. So, what is he talking about there? In beginning kept on being the Jehovah. Now, what does Jehovah mean? The name Jehovah? In Genesis 1 and 2. Genesis 1 and 1. It says, Bara, Elohim, Eth, Hashemayim, Weaharis. All right? It says, in beginnings created God the heavens and the earth. And then it says, and the earth, Weaharis. Haya, Behuvatu. And she became, and the earth, she became, almost going. That little word Haya there, that's the root of the form Jehovah, of the word Jehovah, Haya. The word Jehovah means he who shall become. He who shall become. Now, John 1 and 1, it says, in beginning kept on being the Word. All right? Now, John is laying down the premise that here is Jehovah that I'm talking about. And then John 1:14 says, Kai hologo starts again at those. And the Word, flesh, he became the fulfillment of the Jehovah titles. So that's what happened here. Now in time, before Christ, God did not exist in flesh. But when Jesus was born in this world, God became flesh. And that's what B.C. and A.D. mean. Have you got that one down now, Brother John?
This is Anna Domini?
It comes from the Latin word Annus and Domini, which means the year, Annus. And, you know, annual, what means? What does annual mean? The word, our word annual. Means once a year. All right? Annus, Domini. All right? Domini means dominion or the Lord. All right? The year of our Lord. A.D. That's what it means. We got that one down, don't we? All right? I hope my machine is working. All right. The Greek alphabet. Now let's go. Alpha, beta, gamma, delta, epsilon, beta, eta, theta. Now look at that word theta there. As you're looking at the Greek alphabet. I'll simplify this a little bit. This theta, see that? That's a theta. That is a combination of a TH. Alright? Just a TH. Simple. Alright? Just like, just imagine this. Alright? That's an H, isn't it? And a T also. Just remember that. Just a circle with a dash to it, that's a theta. Alright? So that we have that one, that's theta. That's just a TH sound. Alright? Theta, iota, kappa, lambda, mu, nu, xi. Alright, look at this one. That xi. Now that xi is a, it's just like a, like K or X, S, I. Alright? By the way, your Roman numerals, the Roman numerals that you use in different things, they're not Roman numerals, those are Greek numerals. Alright? They're not Roman numerals, they are Greek numerals. Somebody made a mistake someplace down the line. If you look at them, they're made up out of these letters. Alright? And all Greek letters stood for different decimals. What? KSI. It's kind of like a C. Like that, okay? Mu, nu, xi, omicron, pi, rho, sigma, tau. See all these? And then we have epsilon. That's like the, it looks like a U, but it's actually like a Y. Alright? Now, many of your Greek grammars are wrong. They make it like a U. Most of your grammars are written by Germans. They try to make Greek German. Mm-hmm. Alright? It is not German. Greek is Greek. And that was their problem. Tau, epsilon, phi. Now here we have another one. This is a whole lot like the theta. This is where my name comes from. Alright? Phi. That's a T-H-I. Alright?
P-H-I. Phi. The word philo in Greek, which means I love you. I like you a lot. All right? Philo. All right? My name comes from two Greek words, philo and hippos. Philo means I like, and hippos, the word hippopotamus comes from that. Yes, hippopotamus. What is the word hippopotamus? It comes from two Greek words also. Hippos and potamus. What does that mean?
Water.
Huh? Water. All right, Ptolemy. It means water horse. When the Greeks saw hippopotamuses, they said, there's a water horse. Looks like a horse in the water. All right, so that's what the word hippopotamus means. My name means I love horses. All right, that's what it means. Philo and hippo. I love horses.
You don't like that?
All right. P, T. All right, that's like an X. And then C. C. This is like a pitchfork, all right? C. That's PSI. Just like pounds per square inch. All right? C. C. No, it's C. Psychology. Our word psychology. Our word spirit. Many of these words come from this Greek origin. Okay? C. And then omega. Now, everybody knows what omega is. It's just a long O. That's all it is. Now, let's read some Greek. In 2 Thessalonians 2 and verse 15, we have a beautiful lesson. Now, we're going to read this, and if you look at it, the R in Greek looks like a P. All right? And then, when you see this little thing like this, that is a smooth breather. That means if you just make it sound like an A. If it's a rough breather, it would be ha, ha. And see, when you go ha, it's like your mouth, right there. See that? That's your ear right there, and your eyeballs, and there's your mouth. All right? That's what my teachers told me anyway. And this one here is your mouth shut. All right? All right. Rough and smooth breather. So looking up, as we look at here on 2 and verse 15, it says ara. The only thing different, ara, it's a smooth breather. So you say ara. You pronounce it like an A, ara. And that all the difference between that in Greek, I mean in English, is that it looks like a P, A-P-A, but it's ara. That's a roll. Ara. Ara, everybody. Un. Now look at that one. You could read every bit of that. Un. Now, by the way, when an epsilon is a diphthong, epsilon, epsilon, or whatever, it becomes the oo sound. So there's where the Germans went wrong when they wrote the grammar. Because when it becomes a diphthong, which two vowels make one sound, that's what you call a diphthong. Okay? Then it changes. Ara un. And then adelphoi. Adelphoi. Say adelphoi. Come on, guys. Adelphoi. Now, what is adelphoi? Huh? Brothers. What does this word adelphoi mean? From the same womb. That's what it means. It comes from a and delphi. From the same womb. So Jesus' brothers and sisters were from the same womb. They were some from the same woman. Mary was the mother of all those children. All right? Araun adelphoi, and then sekete. Sekete. Now that sigma there, in English, before 1800, English had an S and a final S. Now Greek has an S, or a sigma, and a final sigma. If you look in old English books, how many of you ever read the preamble to the Constitution? Oh, we the people, all that business. All right. Now you'll find out that if you look like there, trying to write in Greek. That's what it looked like.
Isn't that the one it looks like? Huh? Now, people will say, I've heard them say Congress. Congress? No. That's Congress. Now, before 1800, English had two S's. The S that was in the word, and then the final S. Now, Greek has two S's, two sigmas. This sigma and this sigma. And we get our S from that. Alright? The sigma in the beginning of a word or in a word looks like an O with a curly T on top. The final sigma looks just like our S, basically. Let's go back. Ara una delphoi sekete. Then chi. Now, is there anything about chi you can't read? Alright. Looks just like it would look like in English, wouldn't it? Alright. And then kratete. Kratete. There's only one word there, one letter in that one that you couldn't read, isn't there? Which one is it? The roll that looks like a P is kratete. And then tos. That looks just like if you would write it in English, it looks the same, wouldn't it? Tos. And then para doses. And I forgot to do this. In Greek, you have the pi. All right? Well, if you have studied math, you run onto this term, don't you? This pi. That's like you run on quite a few Greek letters in math. That word pi there. Para doses. And then we have a rough breather. Hos. Hos. And then, edit. Edidoxete. All right, edidoxete. And then ate. Dia. Logo. Ate. D. Epistoles. Himon. Now you'll find out that many of your words in English come from Greek. Every Western language originated from Greek. All the Western languages. If you can read the Greek letters, and if you were really familiar with Greek, if you picked up a Russian newspaper, you could read some of it. All right, because Russian came from Greek. German comes from Greek. Spanish comes from Greek. Latin came from Greek. Greek is the mother or the father, whichever one you want to look at it, of all Western languages. Now let's go back and let's translate this. There's some beautiful, beautiful preaching in this verse here. Ara is a particle, and it's so. And you can put down so as, and then un is therefore, another little particle. So as therefore, adelphoi, brothers. Now this is a very personal term in Greek. A brother in profane Greek language. What do I mean by profane Greek? Huh? No. It's not slang. It means the common Greek. The common man's Greek. We're not talking about Koine or biblical Greek. We're talking about common Greek. Outside of the Bible. Okay? The Greek outside of the Bible, when you talked about an adelphoi, that was your brother or your sister. Alright? Because you came from the same womb. Now, the Bible just kind of makes this word holy. Because when you're born again, then you're born from the same womb, which is God, isn't it? When you're born again, so that's why we call people brother and sister in church. But from the same womb, we have the same parents. All right? Sekete. And it comes from strato, and this term means to stand. It means to stand. And it's second person plural. Alright? I showed you how first person singular, second person, third person. Now we go second person plural, and what is that? You all. Alright? That's an Oki term, the second person plural. You all. Alright? You all stand. Stand.
And it's present tense. In Greek, you have tenses. Now listen to present tense. And that means right now. And always. Present tense, indicative mode, or imperative. It can be indicative or imperative. We have the syntax tells us what this is. And so what would this? This is a command, so what would mode it would be in? Would it be in? Imperative. That's imperative or the command mode. And then the active voice. All right, you stand for yourself. Now it says, krotete. Second person plural again, ye. Second person plural present, imperative, and active. It comes from krateo. And that word krateo means a mighty grip, a powerful grip, to hold on to something. To hold on something with great might. So therefore, brothers, ye stand, and ye hold on to, or ye lay hold of, tas paradesis. Now, the Catholic Church, they have traditions, dogmas, okay? The Catholic Church has dogmas and traditions that are handed down from one pope to another, and they change them now and then. Some pope makes a new revelation, and they give these traditions, or these dogmas that they give, supersede the Bible. Well, the traditions that Paul is talking to here, that he's giving to the church at Thessalonica, they are not traditions like dogmas. This word comes from para and divini. And it means to hand off, to hand, to give, to hand you something. Now, though you people that came in the class tonight, I gave you something. I handed you something. I handed you a handwritten copy of 1st and 2nd Thessalonians, and also a grammar. And this handwritten copy of 1st and 2nd Thessalonians here, I gave to you. Now, when Paul was writing to this church at Thessalonica, he was giving them something. What was he giving them? The graphes. The writing. The Bible. The traditions that Paul is talking about here is the Bible itself. He was giving to them. You have to realize that when Jesus came on this earth, there was only one Bible. And that was the Old Testament, from Genesis through Malachi. That was all the scripture they had. It pointed to Jesus Christ. But when the Lord called out His church, and when He empowered it on the day of Pentecost, then the apostles, some of the apostles, some of the writers of the New Testament that were inspired by God to receive revelation, they were writing Hekinai Deiteke, the New Testament. The New Testament. The New Covenant that God was making with mankind. When the Lord called out His church, He taught it for 3.5 years Himself. He taught it. He taught those disciples, our discipleship classes that we have. This is a discipleship class. What do you do in a discipleship class? You make disciples. You make habitual learners. That's what the word mathetes. That's the word disciple in Greek. It's a habitual learner. Somebody that learns by habit, learns over and over again, memorizes. All right? We teach these discipleship classes so people can teach others. I hope to inspire you to teach classes. And many of my students do. They have gone on to be teachers, preachers, everything you can think of. But this church was being handed the writings of the New Testament, and that's the tradition that Paul is talking about here. The traditions are the writings of the New Testament, and then we have a word here that doesn't make sense in English, but it's witches. Ha. Witches. It's plural. A little old. Relative pronoun. Accusative plural.
relative pronoun. Which is?
Ye were taught.
All right. Take these traditions, the things that I've told you. What were some of the doctrines that the Apostle Paul taught the church at Thessalonica? He talked about different things. We talked about them here in the last few weeks. Talked about the coming of the Lord, the second coming of the Lord. He told them not to be lazy bums. He told them to work with their hands. He told them to be honest and steadfast. That's the word sekete, to stand up and be, have a backbone to you. And then lay hold of the traditions, the Word of God, which is you were taught. And then he says here, A.K., and this is a little conditional particle. A.K., it means either or whether, dia. Little preposition, dia. Now it looks just like English almost, that little D with a tail on the top of it there. Dia. By the agency of. That's what dia means. Through or by the agency of. Whether through or by the agency of. Logo. Logu. Logu. We get a word logos from that. What is this logu here? That's genitive, singular, masculine. It means medium of speech. The word logo. And here I'll give you a little etymology. Logos. In Hebrew, the word is devar. Okay? And in Greek, it is logos. In Hebrew, it's a very limited language. One word in Hebrew means a lot of things. You have five words in Greek that will give you different shades of one thing. Alright? That's what we have in logos. Logos comes from the Greek word lego. The verb form, first lego, and then logos is the noun form. Lego means I speak. But what do you do when you speak?
Giving order.
That's right. When you speak, what do? When you speak, you take from your memory all the words that you have remembered, and you put them in a line, in order, and you communicate in order. Now that's the idea of this, because really the original idea of Lego was a bird standing out in the yard, hopping around, picking up seeds. That's what Lego really meant. That's the original. Lego is a bird picking up seeds. Well, it's the same idea that you take from your mind, you take all of your memory, all of those vocabulary, and you throw them out in the order. Boy, that's quite a machine, isn't it, your mind? And you put them in order, just like a fence post, just like lines, like a sentence. All right? Now, written words on the paper are written in a line, usually, unless it's Chinese. One well with a line, anyway. In Greek, it goes from left to right. Hebrew, it goes from right to left. Through word, that means medium of speech. Either or through epistoles. Epistoles. What word does epistoles, A-K-D, epistoles? Now the word D there, by the way, it just lost its alpha on the end of it for euphony. That means for good sound. D epistolos. Because you run your words together in Greek. All right? So they just dropped off the alpha so it would sound good. D epistoles. Epistoles. What does the word in English sound like, epistoles? We have an English word that comes right straight out of Greek. Epistle. All right, the epistles of Paul. All right? There's the word it came from right there, epistle. Means letter. All right? Whether by word, whether by my mouth, my medium of speech, or by written letter, epistle of us. All right? Paul tells us to lay hold and don't turn loose of the traditions which have been entrusted to you for safekeeping. Lay hold of them. Don't turn loose of them. You know, that's all in the present tense, isn't it? We, as individuals, have a job to do in the church. We have a summit meeting here in a couple of weeks, isn't it?
A week from Tuesday.
All right. And what that does, when you go to a summit meeting, what you have the pastors encourage all the other little teachers and workers in the church. You have the pastors hand down words of encouragement. Epistles we even have written out, little things sometimes to hand out, and they say, now this is what you do, and you follow it, you go along. And these are the things that you can do to reach other people for the Lord. This is how you do it. Well, that's what Paul's doing right here. He's handing us, it says, be able to stand against the wiles of Satan. You know, in Ephesians, the sixth chapter, it says we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against spiritual forces. And the power that we have, that we can lay hold of here by the power of God, we have all of that at our fingertips always. But how do you overcome the power of Satan? He's very powerful in it. How do you overcome it? What does Paul say in the sixth chapter of Ephesians? Same guy wrote this.
We wrestle
not against flesh and blood, but against spiritual forces and world grabbers. That's what it says in there. We put this word crote in there. Mm-hmm. World grabbers. Mm-hmm. And I put your armor on. Where's the armor, by the way? Right at your fingertips. What is that? What is one? The Scripture. All right, the power of God is in Scripture. The Word of God, the power of God, the power of God to bring people unto salvation is what? The preaching of the Word of God. The power of God to change sinners into productive citizens of God's kingdom is right there at your fingertips at all times. The power to quit drinking, to quit gambling, to quit adultering, all of that is right there at your fingertips. It's right there. God has it right there. You have it within your power. When God saves you, He gives you the power. It's not so much that God saves you from hell, but He saves you from the power of sin. Because you have power now. This is the crocheo here. That's the power that God gives you, that you can lay hold of, the power in the Word of God. And the discipleship classes that we have, the discipleship classes should lead you into a deeper fellowship with God. There was a woman one time. How many of you ever watched Gunsmoke, by the way? Anybody ever watched Gunsmoke? You know who Kitty was on Gunsmoke? You know that Kitty actually was modeled after a real woman that lived back then? Not exactly, but her name was Nellie Cashman. She was from Ireland. And they say that it's a terrible, terrible sin that somebody didn't write a book about her, because she was such a wonderful woman. She lived to be 75 years old. She was born in 1851 and died about 1925. She went all over the country. Wherever she went, she started a restaurant. And if anybody came in hungry, she never charged them. She was a Christian. She went to Tombstone, Arizona, there where Doc Holliday was, and Wyatt Earp, and old Sheriff Behan, and John Klum. He was the editor. Remember, if you ever watched any movies about Wyatt Earp, you'll see John Klum in there, and you'll see Wyatt Earp and Doc Holliday and Virgil and Jim, all those Earps. Well, she knew all of them. And she had the Birdcage Saloon and restaurant there in a hotel. And she was always helping out somebody. Out of her own pocket, she built a church in Tombstone. This woman did. And when they would have criminals in jail, when they'd get somebody in there one time, there was five people that were going to hang. They had convicted them of a terrible murderous crime, and Nellie went in there and she preached to them in jail. She had a seal to reach lost souls, and God put it in.
He went in there, and all of them were converted. Right off the bat, three of them were saved, and after, just before they were going to go to the gallows, their other two were saved. All the time, any minor that came in, she was grub-staking them, doing all kinds of stuff. She was a character. Helping, a loving woman. She never got married. She never had a boyfriend or anything. She was only 5 foot tall and never weighed 100 pounds in her life. Well, she preached to those five guys, and then there was some bunch of jerks in the town that built a platform out there, so they, and they were going to charge money to watch those people strangle to death when they hung them. And she, the night before the hanging, she wanted to have some people go out and chop that thing down. She said, nobody ought to make money off saying somebody died. That's wrong. That's criminal. That's ungodly. Well, she would go gold mining here and there. She finally lived up half of her life up in Alaska. When she was 70 years old, she won a dog sled race. She drove mushing with her huskies 750 miles in 17 days. And she blazed her own trails. There weren't any trails. One time, some miners were back up in there. She had gone up there with them, and they got stranded. They were dying of scurvy and everything else. They didn't have any food and didn't have any clean water or anything else. She got her team together, and she said, I'm going to go back and save them herself. This little 5 foot tall, less than 100 pound woman. She took off with all this food. And some of the rangers found out about it, and they sent a patrol back out, or they were going to get her and make her come back. They got out there, and she was out on this lake, and they built a fire out there, and she was singing church hymns and cooking her dinner and everything, and she had some tea there, and she had cookies that she had made and brought along with her. And when the guys in blue came up, she invited them in to sit down for tea. And she was so happy that they couldn't tell her to come back. Well, anyway, she saved all those people's lives. As she got older, wherever she went, if she walked into any type of a place, wherever it was, when Nellie walked in, everybody stood up. She had a reputation of being, they call her the Irish Angel of Mercy. That's what God wants us to do with our lives. He wants us to do something great with our lives. And we can. We have the power to do it if we just do it. Because we have it right in our hand. 2 and verse 16. Altos, David, Ho, Kirios, Hamon, Jesus, Christos, Kai, Ho, Theos, Ho, Pater, Himon, Ho, Agapesos, Himas, Kai, Deus, Para, Klesen, Aeonion, Kai, Elpida, Agathain, and Kariti. All right. See, it's Greek's not so hard, is it? I'll tell you what, you sit in this class and you read Greek for a couple of years, even 6 months, and it won't be so hard. You'll learn the Word of God. That's the most important thing. I wouldn't teach Greek at all if it wasn't for God's Word, and I think you found that out by now. Autos. Okay, that's a little unusual word. It's nominative, singular, masculine. See that omicron sigma OS on the end of it? That tells you it's nominative, singular, and masculine. See, it's an inflected word. Nominative, singular, masculine. Second personal, reflexive, pronominal adjective. That's what the thing is, and all that big long line. It means he himself. And then we have the word day in front of it. That's a little weak adversative conjunctive particle. Day should actually begin to seem with the English, the sentence in English, because it's a conjunction, all right? Moreover, or and he himself, all right? Now, I want you to look at something here. It's just like John 1 and 1. In beginning, in arche, ein hologos, kai hologos, proton theon, kai hologos, ein theos. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was born to God, and the Word was God. You see a lot of, at the end of that verse, you have what you call a predicate nominative.
It says, and the Word was God, and the whole logos, ein theos. The omicron sigma on both of those. Now here we have those nominee singular maxim. I want you to look at this, because we use John 1 and 1 to prove the deity of Jesus Christ. And here we have the same thing being proved tremendously.
Moreover, he himself, the Lord, the Kyrios, the word Kyrios there, in the Greek Septuagint, the word Kyrios would be the translation of the word Jehovah. So you can write Jehovah down underneath that if you want to. All right? That's who he's talking about. And he himself, the Jehovah of us. And who is he? It tells us who he is. Jesus Christos. Now in Spanish, how do you say Jesus Christ? John. All right. Is it the same word? Where do you think it came from in Spanish? Where do you think that came from? Right out of Greek. Jesus Christos. So who is this Jehovah that we're talking about? This Lord. This Kyrios. That's Jehovah. God is Jesus Christ. Then we have a conjunction there, that little tie there. You look that one up on page 208 if you want to read about it in an analytical lexicon. Then we have the word whole there. That's a definite article. Now look at that word whole Christos, or whole Kyrios up there. That's a definite article, and that's nominative singular masculine also. Now that definite article agrees in number, gender, and case with the noun that is describing or pointing to. Then we have here above Jesus Christ. Now you can have whole Jesus Christus, but you don't have to do that in Greek. You don't have to be redundant, because you already have a definite article pointing to the Lord, and then it tells you who he is. That's Jesus Christ. And whole Theos. Now who's Theos? What does the word theology mean? It comes from two Greek words, Theos and Logos. The study of God. So here we have whole Theos. Who is that? We have the nominee singular masculine, the definite article pointing it out. That's like a pointer, an arrow. And we have Theos. Now that's nominee singular masculine, isn't it? Now look up here. We have the Lord, that's Jehovah. We have Jesus Christ. That's all nominee singular masculine, by the way. And then we have a conjunction, and that conjunction there also could be a particle of affirmation. It can be and or even. Yes. Even. Hothios. Now the word Hothios, we know who that is. That's God, isn't it? Now is Jesus God? Well, it says here he is. Is he our Lord? Is he our Jehovah? Yes, that's who he is. And then down here, Ho Pater. Patriarch. What's that word patriarch mean? That's father. The head father is what patriarch means. It comes from the Greek word. The father. Now, there aren't three gods. There's only one God. This is talking about a triune God, not three gods, but one God. And when Jesus Christ went to the cross of Calvary, when Jesus Christ became flesh, God became flesh and dwelt among us. And we held the glory of the Father, that's what it says, of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. It was all in Christ. God's glory was in one person, and he displayed himself. John 1:1 says, it states the fact that Jehovah was God. John 1:14 says, and the Word, the Jehovah flesh, he became. And by the way, that's the middle voice. He got here by himself. God put himself here. John 1:18. Who has got John 1:18 for me? Who's got John? Karagimana is what it is in Greek. John 1:18. Somebody read John 1:18 for me. Who has that? Anybody got a Bible? Brother, you got a Bible there? Oh, have you got it, Dave? Okay. Or have you got it there, Mike? Sure. Okay, go ahead. John 1:18.
John 1:18 says, no one has seen God at any time. The only begotten Son, who is the bosom of the Father, he has declared him.
All right, it says no one has ever seen God at any time. It's talking about in the Old Testament. All right? No one has ever seen God, because this was written about the Old Testament times. Nobody ever saw God displayed in flesh before. But it says here, say that again. Read the rest of that. We'll go back to that a couple times.
the only begotten Son.
Okay, now that's really what it says in Greek. It says the only begotten God. That's what it says in Greek. The only begotten God. God only became flesh one time. Okay? He what?
Who is in the bosom of the Father.
That's right. He's inseparable. John 1:1 says, in beginning kept on being the Word. The Word kept on being toward the God. The God, Jehovah, and God could never be separated. Kaihologos proton theon. God and the Word were inseparable. That's what it means. They were totally inseparable. God, when He became flesh, He was still God. Okay? Then what happened there after that?
He has time.
All right, in Greek.
It doesn't really mean He has declared Him. It comes from two words.
Position. And then I go means I lead, I bring, I go. Now it says in King James there, I think that's King James, then, it says that He has declared Himself. He has declared Him. In Greek it says, and I go. He has led Himself out of eternity and into space and time. John 1:14. John 1:1, John 1:14, John 1:18 explains how God became flesh and dwelt among us. And 1 Thessalonians 2:16 is just reaffirming that again. Paul is reaffirming it, and he's reaffirming it. The God of heaven became flesh and says, Athos deho kyrios amon Jesus Christu kai ho theos ho pater. He himself, the Lord, the Jehovah of us, Jesus Christ, explains who that was, the God, the Father. All right? When Jesus Christ died on the cross of Calvary, the Holy Spirit and the Father both tasted death. God loves us. God loves us. The Holy Spirit never did anything the Father didn't do, and the Son never did anything the Father didn't do, and the Father never did anything that the Son didn't do. Where we have the triune God, the Father of us. And then it says, ho agapesos. Ho. Now that's the same person, isn't it? The One. All right? We have a practical substantive there. It's this the, but when you know that it's there, that's what you call a practical substantive in the Greek, and it's the One. The Son, the Father, the Lord of us. That's the One. And then it's agapesos. That comes from agapeo. Now it's nominee singular masculine again. This is still the subject of the sentence. It's singular and it's masculine. Alright? One God. The one God loves us. And then it's first aorist participle masculine. First aorist is what? Now you that haven't been in Greek very much, aorist tense is a punctiliar action. That something happened. Alright? In point time. Aorist tense. It's point time action. And the participle there, part of it, it's kind of a noun-verb marriage. Okay? Agapestos. The one having loved. Having loved. How did God love you? Huh? How did He love you? He became flesh in space and time. He lived a perfect life for you. He's a forerunner of what we're supposed to do with our lives. You know, a little girl, Nellie Cashman? She was a great, great Christian woman. Quite a woman. Thousands of people loved her from one end of the country, from north to south to east and west. She was a witness wherever she went. The one having loved us, Christ came into the world to save sinners. That's what the Bible says. It took Him 33 and a half years in space and time to do it. God became flesh. Alright? And Kai Deus. The word Deus here is nominee singular masculine. The one having given, second aorist, participle and active in having given comfort, paraplasia. This is the word para and kalio together. I'll let you out in just a minute. This is a beautiful thing. The one having given eternal comfort. Comfort that doesn't last here, just here, but forever. Ageless comfort. Ageless power. And hope. Elpidon. When we say hope in English, what do you think? You hope something's going to happen. You hope something. I hope. I hope I feel better tomorrow. I hope. I hope our prayers are answered. Hope. But in Greek, it's a guaranteed future existence. It's more than hope. It's a guarantee. An eternal, ageless comfort and a guaranteed future existence. Good. Agon. Thing. Agon thing. Good. That's spiritually good. And how do we get all this? In charity. For in grace you're having been saved. That's what it says in Ephesians 2 and 8 from Greek, that is. For in grace. For immersed in grace you're having been saved through faith. And that faith is not going to come from you. It's a gift of God. And the word charis, the word gift, the word grace, it was the old Oriental idea of a person, a helpless, hopeless person coming before a giant, potentate king. And this king could give you life or death. And if he gave you death, it was instant, or it could be prolonged and tortured. But if he gave you something good, that was, you were lucky. That was grace. If you came out of there with your life and with a kingdom or forgiveness for a debt or whatever, that was grace. Because this person could just look at you wrong and you'd be dead. That's the word charis. That's the word for where the word grace came from. It was from that word. Thank you for your attention tonight. I hope you learned something from God's Word and from the Greek language. Next week, we will be in S-22. That's upstairs, down there, I think. All right, we've got to go back there again. Upstairs again. S-22. Either go up the elevator or up the stairs up there. What was that?
The one without
a clock. Yeah, the one without a clock or anything. I'm liable to preach on all night long. That way, like Paul did, somebody fall out the second story window and kill themselves and I have to raise them from the dead.
Oh, I said Paul.
Thank you. It's good to have all of you here. Let's have a word of prayer and be dismissed. Father, thank you for your word tonight. Thank you for the study from the Greek language that so thoroughly, completely explained your word. That you inspired the Bible to be. I ask you to go with each and every one of these today as they leave here and help them to be a better Christian as they leave here tonight. Help them to carry your word with them. And as we become disciples, help us to disciple others also. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.